Hello, I'm FreePod host Alan Wenzel, and I'm pleased to host this week's in-depth interview with Rocky and Eric Zuberbühler. I'm sitting in their beautiful offices here on Chicago Avenue at the Exchange in downtown Freeport, and I'm welcoming you, our listeners, to this interview with Rocky and Eric. And I think I'm going to start, gentlemen, with just, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and who you are and how you got to this wonderful spot here and on Chicago Avenue? Eric, go ahead.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. Huge fan of this podcast and happy to be on here. My name is Eric Zuberbühler. I'm one of the owners of The Exchange. And this is a project that's been the last 5 or 6 years in the making that me and my family have been working on. And we have been open officially for the last 2 years and kind of phase one of our project. But we're gearing up for the next phases here in the next year or so.
So a little bit about us and our background. We own Integrity Financial Services, and Eric's been a part of that for 5 years now. And I've been in the business 24 years. So previous occupation, I was a contractor / carpenter. So I have a little skills in the remodeling business, which has come in handy in this endeavor.
Well, how did you gentlemen get to this particular spot, and why? Why choose an old building just on the edge of the business district here in Freeport to do your work of rehabbing and remodeling a building? Why this spot?
So I was looking for a new office space, and we'd kind of outgrown the other location, and cruising around downtown, I thought we'd put it downtown here and kind of be in the middle of things, and looked at a lot of buildings, some better than others. And we drove by this one and seen this, and kind of was a little bigger than we anticipated initially, but we thought, well, maybe there's some opportunities here for us. And we got a tour of the building and fell in love with it. And that's how we ended up here.
And my history kind of starts with the whole building renovation. When I was 18 years old, I had graduated from high school, and friends of mine, the Nissens, who own 90s Coffee, previously owned a Bet Books and Games. And so when they had bought that building, I'd been introduced to them, and they asked us to kind of see if we could give a couple nights to help them demo the space. And a couple years went by, and we were there every night at 18 years old, doing all of the work ourselves and kind of digging into that. So I had some experience in that. And so when I was away at school and my dad had contacted me and said, hey, I bought a building, I couldn't get back here fast enough to jump in here and get to work and do this together with him.
So you two have had not only a long interest in redoing old buildings, but you had some experience with that too. And that can go a long way. Here's the question that I've got to ask you first of all. Why rehab a building, an old building? Why not just start fresh and new and build it the way you want it? And why tackle a project like this?
Well, as you can see when you drive around downtown Freeport, there's a lot of character here that you just don't get in new construction. And I like the feel of it. I think they're built structurally better. And but I just, more character, I guess, is the biggest thing.
And Erica, you're nodding your head at that. And you've been in old buildings. You mentioned the Abet Games store that was downtown. And so there is a different feel for walking into a building, and you just, it is a different feeling, I think, to walk into a building that's been rehabbed.
Yeah, when we have people come in for a tour or something, the first thing they do is they look up at the ceilings and they look at the huge beams. That's the first thing they notice, is they say, man, and usually the second thing they say is they just don't build buildings like that anymore. So for us to kind of be able to see that, I mean, this is the most fun stuff to work for. So this building really hasn't been worked on since the people started working on it in like 1904 and stuff. So you kind of feel like you're following in their footsteps a little bit, seeing how they used to do things, and getting to work with that's been just a ton of fun.
Have you uncovered, Erica and Rocky too, have you uncovered any interesting features when you start to work on a building? I'm sure you have. And some expensive features probably too. But what are, talk a little bit about your experience, the experiences that you had with these kind of projects.
I think I think there's a number of different things. I mean, we found old beer cans in the walls from the 60s and 70s and stuff like that. You could tell they were having a long day and needed something cold at the end of it. But there's so many little elements that we've tried to keep in this. One of the most notable ones in front of the elevator, there's an old fire door that we have kind of mounted back now to kind of keep open so people can freely enter into it. But the way that fire door operated was there was a rope that was tied to it. And their thought process was, when the fire burns that rope, it's going to slam shut and no one will be able to use it. So we look at a lot of the fire standards we have to follow today. And theirs was, well, when the rope burns, they'll know they're not going anymore. And so I think there's moments of that. That's like, okay, that's a different way of doing things.
I imagine you two have developed an appreciation for the kind of ingenuity that was used 100, 150 years ago when these buildings were built. Is that the right word? Or certainly there was a craftsmanship in art. To building as there is to rehabbing them and restoring them.
A lot of the work in the demo on this was really involved because they'd put so much steel and concrete on every inch of every surface around here. And it was a task to remove it. I actually drove my pickup truck inside the building and hooked up cables to the ceiling to rip off the wire mesh because it was so, it's like razor blades and it's covered in concrete. So yeah, you would never see anything like that in today's world because of the costs involved in that. So it's been a work of love, I guess.
Can you walk me through, and Rocky, your comment there got me thinking, can you walk me through just generally the kind of steps you take when you walk into an old building and decide you're going to do this? What's the first thing you do that gets everything going? And then what are the subsequent steps to getting the project to completion?
So I guess the first thing we had an architect obviously draw where everything is going to go, and that's kind of a first draft, and it's very fluid. It gets changed daily pretty much, but it all started with demo, and so we knew we had to just gut everything from day one and work from that point. And then after that, it just kind of, the building is so large, it's 30,000 square feet, and it's a handful, so we always talk about, how are we going to tackle this? It's like Michael Jordan says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's like, all right, we're going to focus on this section of the building right now, and we're going to do this, and then we're not going to worry about the rest of this, and just piecemeal. And pretty soon, after a long period of time, you've got semi-finished project. So,
yeah, that's something we kind of talk about all the time, where we're finishing up a utility closet that's been kind of at the very, one of the very last things of this first phase here. And we need just to put a mop sink in and a sink and whatnot and some lights. And so the phrase we kind of keep using is we've reclaimed this part of the building. It's a part of the building we go into all the time and maybe just throw something there or it's kind of construction. But once it finally makes, it's always one night where it's like, this is now a part of the building. This is a thing that the tenants can go into. They can utilize. There's just cleaning supplies and stuff in it. But that small little 10 by 18 foot room that's a special part that's now a part of it. That's a chunk that's been reclaimed for us now.
So it sounds like you take the project and chunk it down into biteable sizes, get it done, and then move on to another piece and take on that little part of the project, another part of the building. But just to complete one section, do it well, do it right, and then just go to the next place.
That's how we do things, and we're different than a lot of other developers because we have full-time jobs. So from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday, we're working at our financial services job. We have a book of business where people are consistently trying to call us and take care of that. So at 5 o'clock for the last 5 years, we would bring a change of clothes with us. We'd come down here at 5 o'clock. We work till about 8:30 or 9. And then we'd work on Saturdays, and he works on Sundays, but I have Sundays off. Mm-hmm. So it's been that for 5 years, and that's how we kind of tackle this project. More people would probably have a team of people come in, and initially we're going to do all this at one or take one big swoop, but it's just not feasible for us on our timeline. So we do work slower, but our outcome we think is a little bit stronger because we really get to marinate on each corner of the building to really think about it. And every corner of the building has been said it's going to be this way, but then it ends up being this way by the end of it. And we're really happy with how that turned out.
So you and your dad work very closely together there and figuring out what we need to do next and how are we going to get this done and what do we want it to look like? And that goes pretty well. Can you put a percent, okay, of all the work that's been done, what percent of it was done by you two and what percent by somebody else that you had to call in because it was beyond your expertise or knowledge?
We can't do electrical, or HVAC or plumbing. That we're just not licensed for that. We can do all the demo. We did all the flooring. We built all the walls, insulate. I hate drywall, so we subbed all that out too. But we painted it, and we've added all the trim details. We didn't install the windows. We hired that out. But I would say 50, 60% of it we've done. Yeah. So as much as we can, because we're on a limited budget.
Yeah. A lot of sweat equity.
Yeah.
Certainly has gone into the building. Eric, you mentioned earlier phase one of this project. Is phase one completed or almost completed? And then tell me what phase two and phase three are.
Yeah. So we had to kind of, as we said, make this into biteable chunks. So as opposed to thinking about the building and running up to the third floor and then come back down to the first, you know, that we said, okay, we have to break this into different phases. So phase one is the space that's open to the public right now. So that's our office, Integrity Financial Services. We also have 8 rental offices, and we have, they're all monthly leases. So they're all turnkey, internet included. So the point of those offices are basically we want to be a lily pad, like for a leapfrog kind of situation. We want a business owner who is never, they're getting ready to move into their first spot. They want to just try it out for a few months and they're not tied into a whole year long lease. And so we've had some tenants come in that only are here for 2 or 3 months. They try out their business. It doesn't work. It's no problem. We'll just bring in the next person then. The other part of that phase is a small boutique event space that holds about 150 people. It's perfect size for bridal showers, wedding showers, graduation parties, birthday parties, that kind of thing. That's in the very back room there that we call the locale that we've officially opened up. It's got its own Facebook page now. We're accepting reservations as of about 3 or 4 weeks ago with that. So that was the last little part of phase one for that.
Excuse me, Eric, what's the name of the, if I'm looking for this on your website, what am I looking for? What's the name of it?
The name of it is called the Locale, L-O-C-A-L-E. And Locale Freeport will take you there either on Facebook or Instagram, and it's all on our website as well. You can find it on Facebook. So phase two of our project is going to be next year. We're drawing up plans for it now, so we're hopefully going to get working on that next year. We'll have more retail spaces, like we have more office suites, larger suites. We have a couple different businesses that are interested in moving in that need a wider space, and they're looking to do more of a long-term lease thing.
More permanent space?
More permanent space, correct. So, and then from there, we've played with ideas of some kind of iteration of a bar or restaurant. That's pretty fluid at this point. We know we're going to have something in that. And part of phase two is also building out the rooftop area. That's kind of a nice sitting lounge. We'll hold about 200 people. So there's a couple different iterations of that. We're kind of working out the details right now. And then phase three and four are boutique hotel, about 20 hotel rooms that will be on the third and fourth. And that's our final phases.
What's your time frame for the different phases? I know that's it's a hard question to answer because the two of you are doing so much of this yourself, and you never know what you're going to run into. Are we thinking 5 years, 2 years, 10 years? What's your dream? What's your long term prediction here?
I think I'm the pessimist here, so I'll let him answer this one.
Phase two will be the most difficult because we have to remove all the existing roof and replace everything. It's going to be a big job. Once we get that phase two done, three, four, I think will be considerably easier. Best case, I would say 3 years. More realistic, probably 5. But eventually, wouldn't mind hiring a couple people to come in and kind of pick up some of the slack too. You know? We don't have to do it all the time.
Yeah, I think I'm probably there too. This whole process, again, I kind of say I'm the pessimist, I joke about it, but conquering a project like this, I mean, there'd be plenty of nights where you get done with work at 5 o'clock and you want to go put your feet up, and we'd go put down here, and there wasn't a lot of plumbing in here. There was no plumbing here. There was no heat in here. There was anything. We could be here in the dead of winter. And so coming down here after a long day, it would be like, okay, time to do some backbreaking demo work. It was tough. And so I threw in the towel about 1,000 times in the last 5 years. And every time my dad would say, you know, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
We'll be fine with it and whatnot. So now that we see that this is open, that there's businesses here, we actually have a wait list of about half a dozen people on that for the rental suites.
Great.
So
not
only are we doing well down here, it's thriving down here. So that's something that I never thought we could get to. Mm-hmm. So coming for phase two, I think my time frame is a little bit easier now, seeing that we actually have finished part of this.
You know? I'm thinking you're ready to throw in the towel, but you go home and have a couple of cold drinks.
Yeah.
And next morning, you go, what the heck? Let's go at it again.
Pretty much.
Yeah, right. What's your long-term vision here for your efforts? Are you going to stick with this building? You got ideas for other places, or where are you headed?
Once this is done, phase four is done, we've actually entered into a contract with the Lucky Building uptown. So it's not everybody knows that, but we're willing to share it at this point with your group. So we just kind of signed papers here in the last, 6 weeks? Yeah. So that will fall behind it, this one. So we can only do so much, but that'll piggyback on our operation here. And then I think I'm probably done, and whatever he decides to do is up to him.
You're throwing in the towel, but Eric's going to pick up the torch and go ahead.
Yeah. I think when we think about the greater things is that so much has been done here. And we started at a bet when I was 18 years old, was probably almost 10 years ago this year. There wasn't a lot down here. I mean, this is, it was probably one of the only buildings down here. Mort's Barn Grill looked a lot different, right, than it did today. Yeah. And I was a waiter over at the Main Street Bistro for many years. And so that was what was down here. And when we were there, we were like, man, this downtown has made it so far, right? It's amazing, mm-hmm, what could be done. But mm-hmm, seeing where we're at 10 years of the streetscape and just a lot different landscape of what it looks like now, we want to piggyback off that. So what we do best is we do really well in the hospitality industry. This family has kind of always cultivated that. And so we want to take a pocket of our downtown and add to that, whether it be rental spaces for people, event spaces, hotel rooms. With the idea of the Lickie Building would be, there'd be a few more larger size hotel rooms. But if you're a Freeport resident, you've been up in the ballroom of the Lickie Building. And that's step one of the Lickie Building, is to have that be open and be an operational thing. I mean, this was a place that had the town dances back in the 1900s. So we want to open that back up and bring that kind of thing where people come down to Freeport and go, man. And so
that'd be exciting.
Yeah. So we're just trying to add to the landscape that's already here.
I what I've noticed in the last 15 years, 10, 15 years, more and more, there are opportunities and reasons to come downtown to enjoy yourself. Whether it's to go to a movie or to have dinner or to go to some event space for a reception or just to come downtown and experience the music on Chicago or on Debate Square. More and more reasons for people to just come down and hang out and have fun. And you will be a part of that going forward. What are the lessons you've learned in all of this? Can you share a couple of, oh my gosh, there are probably a ton of them, but are there any key things that you would share with us that from your experiences, here's what we've learned. If anyone else is going to get into this kind of a thing, here's what you got to remember. Anything along that line, Eric or Rocky, that you could talk to us about?
It's never going to go as smooth as you hope, and it's going to take longer than you anticipate and cost more money. It's good if the city's on your side and you've got an advocate there to kind of get through all the red tape. That always helps too. And I don't know. And Bill Green next door and his family, they've done a great job in the Wagner House, and they've been kind of pioneers down here too. So we kind of follow their lead a little bit on some certain things, you know, the processes, but I don't know. You didn't even put it on your side as far as.
Yeah, I think that as opposed to a new build, I mean, you can go to Menards and you can buy a home or you can buy a pole shed or something that has a step-by-step process. But when you come into a building like this, I mean, there's so many unknowns of like, okay, here's the project we want to do, but then there's 12 other projects just to get to that project. And three of those projects require other projects to be finished. And it's just kind of an ongoing thing. So it's definitely a one day at a time, a one step at a time. But we've had many situations where we said, okay, this is the project we want to do. And we both threw our hands up, and it's a frustrating process, especially after you've put a considerable amount of money into one specific thing you think it is. But the biggest thing I've noticed is when we do that, we go to bed just mad or angry. It's like, I don't know how we're ever gonna get this done. The both of us are up late at night thinking about it, and then something clicks and it goes, okay, I have it. Here's how we're gonna do it. And we kind of come back together, and it's an exciting day the next day. It's like, okay, I think we found it. And when you get over that hump, that feeds into so many other things. So it's, if you get frustrated, it's totally normal to be frustrated, but you have to come back the next day. And a big part of that for us is showing up for work every day. And that means even if we're just sweeping the floor, we push that ball a little bit forward, as opposed to just saying, we don't want to work on it today. And because that can bleed into months of not working on it, you know?
I would guess that one of the best things about what you do are the rewards that come with it. Seeing the completed product, but having people create a list for you that want to be here, that want to rent from you, that want to be in the space, want to be a part of what you're doing. That's got to be terribly rewarding to receive that kind of recognition for what you do and say, well, the work, that was worth it. And it's going to be here a long time and people will enjoy it for a long time. That's got to be, I imagine, part of why you do this too.
We get a lot of compliments when people come in the building for the first time. And this used to be Black Dot Printing. And a lot of people we run into say, oh, I used to work here. And they say, well, I didn't know there were windows in the building. As you can look around there, and there's 28 windows on this first floor, and they are all sealed up. It was like a cave in here. It's like, so it's when you see those responses and those people are impressed with the results, you know, it feeds our ego too. So that helps us get a little more motivated too.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time today, talking to our listeners about your work here and about what's ahead. And there's a lot of excitement ahead for you and for us as we witness your continued efforts to redo some aspects of downtown Freeport that make it even more attractive for us to come down and participate in something. I wonder, before we leave, do you have any final thoughts, Eric or Rocky?
Yeah. One thing I'll say is that with projects like this, whether it be our project or anyone else working downtown, is the number one thing is that it's not just the people who own the building or working on it. It's a culmination of everyone. We've brought in so many friends and so many experts in their field, and the fact that Rocky has a construction and a contractor background means that he's got lots of friends who have, he's kind of pulling out of the woodwork to say, hey, can you come over here and take a look at this thing? And that's what really makes us is getting two or three people's opinion. And then they say, hey, you know what? I'll come back down here and help it. And there's been hundreds of people who've come down here. And especially initially we had so many volunteers coming out of the woodwork just to help us out for free for some pizza and some beers to come down here. And we couldn't have done it without all those people. And I think that's the biggest thing is how many people have kind of put their eyes on this project too. So it's not just ours, it's everybody's.
Right. Yeah. The volunteers have been a big part of it because we'd work till 9 o'clock, go to Moore's, have beers and say, thanks a lot. See you when next time you feel like sweating and getting dirty, whatever. I got a good friend owns Quality Electric, John Green, and he's been a godsend because there's a lot of electric in this building, you know, and there's always challenges. So he's down here all the time saying, all right, we can do it this way. We can do it this way. And we can save some money doing this. So, yeah, so we've got a good contractor and relationships with all of them. And that's been key also to be able to pick their brain. And
I tell you, I get excited watching you guys get excited about what you're doing. And I can't wait to see the next steps that you undertake. Again, I want to thank you, Eric and Rocky, for your time this afternoon. And if you want to stop down, listeners, and talk to Rocky and Eric, they're here at their offices on Chicago Avenue at the Exchange Building, the old Black Dot Building, for those of you who are familiar with Freeport or old timers. And that, listeners, I want to thank you for listening to today's interview. And once again, I'm Freepod host Alan Wenzel. And I invite you to tune in to our regular weekly newscast for the local news you've been missing. We drop our newscast every Thursdays at noon, and our in-depth interviews will be on Tuesdays at noon. So stay tuned for the next interviews that are on the horizon. And we always want to remind you that this Freepod interview could not come to you without the help of many local supporters. We're especially appreciative for the Mass Communications Department at Highland Community College for producing this podcast, as well as our many liaisons and reporters for the time they volunteer. Thank you, Highland and Team Freepod. Thank you for listening.